live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Happy Friday. Happy Chinese New Year. Yes, it's Chinese New Year today, Year of the Ox, and it's also a day of a lot of breaking news. We're going to cover all of it. So much to talk about, even right here in our very first block. So let's not waste any time, and let's get right down to it. All right, first, got to let you know, the CDC has finally, we've been waiting for this all week, come out with their back-to-school guidelines. And here's a shocker. I know this is going to blow your mind. Phew! They have said that it is completely safe to go back to school. Wear a mask, social distance, have some ventilation, and teachers do not need to be vaccinated to go back. This is huge because, of course, you know, Dr. Wexler, the head of the CDC, Biden's pick to be the head of the CDC, just about a week ago said, hey, vaccinations are not required for teachers to go back into the classroom and do their freaking jobs. And the White House said, it's just your opinion. That's not fact. No, we're going to go with the science. Well, now the CDC has these official guidelines that says, bingo, you don't need your freaking vaccine to go back to school to teach. Because guess what? Most of the kids, they can't even get the vaccine. It's not available to people who are under 14 years of age. And still, go on Facebook. Go on the CCSD parents page and you will see people say, I'm not convinced it's safe. I'm not sending my child back there. That's probably the same person who told you to follow the science a million times in the year 2020. Probably the same person who told you to follow CDC guidelines. And now they're just like, no, it's not safe. I am so much smarter than all of them. That's what we're dealing with, our people. Freaking brain trust of the year. All right. Now, next big breaking news story of the day. One of the deputy White House press secretaries. Are you ready for this? This one's juicy. This one's good. One of the deputy White House press secretaries got very perturbed with a reporter. A reporter who dared inquire about the fact that he is dating another reporter at Axios who is there to cover the Biden administration. Albeit People Magazine, yeah, the brain trust over there, people, they already broke this huge story. But see, this deputy press secretary, he didn't like this reporter nosing around. So he wrote back and threatened her and said, I will ruin you. Now, this deputy press secretary has been put on unpaid leave for a week. Which is very interesting because you may remember that on President Biden's first day as president, he told the world that if I hear of anyone on my staff treating someone else with disrespect or disparagingly, you will be fired on the spot. Well, now we know that Biden's word once again means nothing and he doesn't hold up to his end of the bargain, because when his deputy press secretary actually threatens a female reporter, because this guy's a male, and then he goes and threatens a woman reporter, he just gets no pay for a week. Oh, golly Cooper. Yeah. Wow. That should really blow your mind. But you know what? It's probably not blowing your mind. You're probably not even thinking about that, because you're probably thinking about this crazy impeachment trial that has been going on all week long. And I call it crazy for this one reason. Nothing about this trial makes sense. Nothing about this trial makes sense. The trial is going on because the House managers say that when President Trump, then President Trump, gave that speech, he incited violence. Yet they spent their entire 2 days, their entire 16 hours of allotted time, basically laying a claim that President Trump had been laying the groundwork for this for months, with denial of the election results, with the false narrative that he had won the election, with the false narrative that this was taken away from him. But that's not why he's on trial for impeachment. He's on trial for impeachment for saying, you better fight like hell, which is really, really terribly inciting. I mean, no Democrat has ever said the words fight like hell. Now, have they? Or have they? Let's roll the tape.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
Be careful.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
Walk lightly.
You got to fight him in the only way he knows how to fight, and that's the street.
Enough is enough.
If the president does go ahead and fire Robert Mueller, we would have people take to the streets. I believe there would be widespread civil unrest.
We ain't playing with you.
Even in states where Donald Trump won big, that it does you any good running away from Donald Trump. I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
Make them pay.
And what we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box.
And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right.
So no Democrat has ever incited violence or used the word fight, as you just saw, right? Yeah. In fact, let's just show you what some of the House impeachment managers have said in their tweets when it comes to the word fighting. Let's look at image number one, David Cicilline. That was one of the strongest speeches I've ever heard. It is what a president is supposed to sound like. I am ready to fight like hell to elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to the White House. So he's okay to fight like hell. Ted Lieu, when they go low, I fight back. Oh, okay, so it's okay for him to fight. Okay, let's keep going. This is fun. Jamie Raskin, constitutional patriots of all parties must demand immediate investigation into Trump Russia. This is our democracy. Fight for it. He goes on. We've got to wake up every day and fight like hell for liberal democracy. Oh, wait, is there more? Is there more? Is there more? Let's go. Let's hope for the best, be prepared for the worst, and go fight like hell for the Constitution. Jeez Louise. Oh, wait, there's more. The GOP rush to replace Justice Ginsburg is all about destroying the Affordable Care Act, women's health care and reproductive freedom, and the voting rights and civil rights of the people. We must fight like hell to stop the assault on healthcare and the Constitution. That is enlightening. That is enlightening, really. So basically, I just want to bring everyone to speed here. They are saying that President Trump incited violence by telling them to go fight like hell at that speech on January 6th. And they're saying that all of his denial of the election results, you know, led to this, which I agree that it kind of did. But they also forget totally that they have denied election results for decades. Don't believe me? Let's roll the tape.
But can you imagine telling your supporters that the only way you could possibly lose is if an American election was rigged and stolen from you? And ask yourself whether you've ever seen anyone at any level of government make the same claim about their own election.
If Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it. It's clear. It's clear. And I say that publicly. It's clear.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
He knows he's an illegitimate president. He knows. He knows that there were a bunch of different reasons why the election turned out the way it did.
Votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard.
And I will not concede.
Respect, and I respect where you're coming from, and I respect the issues that you're raising. You're not answering the question.
Do you think it
was...
You're not using the word legitimate.
There are still legitimate concerns over the integrity of our elections and of ensuring the principle of one person, one vote.
I agree with tens of millions of Americans who are very worried that when they cast the ballot on an electronic voting machine, that there is no paper trail to record that vote.
But constantly shifting vote tallies in Ohio and malfunctioning electronic machines, which may not have paper receipts, have led to additional loss of confidence by the public. This is their only opportunity to have this debate while the country is listening. And it is appropriate to do so.
That was very interesting. So let me get this straight. It's okay for Stacey Abrams to never concede and deny the results of election, the election. It's okay for Hillary Clinton to say the election was stolen from her. It's okay for Senator Sanders and for Nancy Pelosi in 2005 to challenge the election results on January 6th and demand that we not count invalidated electors. So it's actually totally okay for every single Democrat to do it. It's only wrong and inciting violence when Donald Trump does it. Got it. Super clear, crystal clear. I can see it so clearly now. Now, here's the problem with everyone's argument. They're all freaking wrong. Every single person who's pulled these political nonsense stunts is wrong. Almost all politicians are full of baloney. That was the clean way of saying that. Almost all of them will do anything they can to ensure their survival and to make things work for their party. They don't give a rat's patoot about you. They don't give a rat's patoot about justice. They don't give a rat's patoot about what's right. They don't give a rat's patoot about what's wrong. They will all, whether they are Republican or Democrat, do things for their own political gain. And they all play games all day long. And they don't really care who they hurt. What we've seen, though, here from Republicans and Democrats over the last 20 years is this. We're going to fight. We're going to lie. We're going to cheat. We're going to use every weapon in our arsenal. We are going to make this completely partisan, completely political, and we are going to blow things out of proportion to the point where in 2020, we became a country that was being marred coast to coast by total anarchy and division. And you wonder why we're at where we are right now. Everyone watching this, everyone not watching this, should be able to admit January 6th was disgusting and never should have happened. Everyone should admit that there was no way Mike Pence could have done anything to overturn the election that day, and any insinuation as such was wrong. Anyone can admit that all of the violence and anarchy we saw throughout 2020 was wrong and bad and should be prosecuted. Everyone should be able to admit that these politicians use hyperbolic language all the time when it suits their benefit. Because when Nancy Pelosi doesn't want the National Guard at federal courthouses, they're stormtroopers. When Nancy Pelosi wants National Guard members at the inauguration, they are God's gift to America, protecting us as so needed. It's a bunch of BS. And you need to wake up and see that. It's all BS and nothing more. There is only one reason why this impeachment trial is going on. It's to destroy Republicans. That's what Democrats are trying to do. Because any Republican that votes for impeachment is going to be primaried, whether they're running in 22 or the next time that they run. And any Republican who votes not to impeach the president, if they're up for election 22, do you want to know what's going to happen to them? The Democrats are going to run ad after ad after ad, ad nauseum, starting right after this trial, linking that politician to the craziness on January 6th, whether they had anything to do with it or not. This is just another attempt to try to destroy the Republican Party. And sadly, and I don't quite know why, Democrats are always so much better at this game. Oh, yeah, you can have crazy Stacey Abrams deny that she lost an election, never concede the gubernatorial race in Georgia, and freaking people are praising her like she is God's gift for the wins in Georgia in the Senate race. Isn't that stupid? It's totally stupid. But we let Democrats get away with this all the time. And I think it's because even if they're not eloquent or that smart, Democrats know how to talk to the camera. And I've really yet to meet a Republican who knows what the heck they're doing when they get on camera. They all kind of suck. They all look like little boys wearing daddy's suit going, I don't know what to say. I'm not sure the words can come out. It's absolutely and utterly ridiculous. About as ridiculous as everything that we're seeing with Governor Cuomo right now. Governor Cuomo is under so much fire that at the moment, Bill de Blasio is even saying, you know what? I kind of think that maybe we need to take away his emergency powers. When freaking Bill de Blasio is bagging on you, you know it's bad, my friends. You know it's bad. So why is it so bad? Because a Cuomo aide, one of his secretaries, had the audacity to admit that they were so scared of federal investigation and the state investigation that they just lied. They just blatantly lied over and over again. And now they're getting caught. And now Democrats all over the state of New York are saying, oh, heck no, we got to deal with this dude. Here's what I really want you to think about for a minute, because it's very, very important. Throughout all of 2020, all the media did was glorify Cuomo. Oh, isn't he the best? Weren't his press conferences so good? I mean, give that man an Emmy. Oh, he wrote a book about his wonderful leadership. Oh my God, he never lies to us. He is always so truthful. I wish that he was the president because Donald Trump lies all the time. That Cuomo, he's the only one who tells the truth. That's what the media told you for an entire freaking year. And it was all a lie. Because not one journalist had the balls or the audacity to do their job and investigate if anything this man said was true. Cuomo is a narcissistic politician who lies and cheats and literally does not care who dies. In his press conference, you remember, he said, I'm going to blame this on God. And so what? People died. They were old. People died. And still no one challenged the freaking man. Do you want to know why you don't trust the media? That's why. Because when Biden has a press secretary who threatens a woman, he gets to keep his job, even though Biden said, hey, you're fired on the spot. Nope. Because when Cuomo lies to people for months on end for his own personal gain, the media doesn't even really cover it. The media doesn't even really care. This is why people don't trust the media. This is why we're in big trouble. And I know some of you are saying like, why doesn't the journalist do their job? I'll tell you one of the reasons why journalists don't do their job. It's not just because they're biased. It's not just because they're in the pockets of the Democrats, but it's also because of this. One of the things you don't realize as journalists is it's not like this information is just readily available. It's not like any journalist could be like, well, I'm going to get all the numbers from the nursing home deaths. He was lying about the numbers. He was fudging the numbers. The only way the truth was going to come out was if there was a government investigation, which is how this one broke open because of the New York Attorney General, or if someone leaks information, aka whistleblowers. It's not like journalists have a special secret code that they get to type into their computer and all of a sudden they have all the access in the world to everything in the government. No, it doesn't work that way. Things are exposed when people come forward. It's the journalist's job when someone comes forward to investigate, see if it's true, verify it, and then put it out on the air. The problem is we don't ever have journalists who do that anymore. And the other problem is we don't have people who come forward with the truth. Instead, we have people who come forward with lies because this is all political and people just want to destroy the right. And that's what we're living. We're going to get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about Governor Sisolak for a hot second. As many of you here in Nevada know, he gave us a little speech yesterday, which was overall, not that bad. Starting on Monday, we go to 35% capacity, no more reservations for restaurants. March 15th, a year from the COVID lockdowns here in Nevada, we get to go to 50% capacity. And then on May 1st, well, Governor Sisolak kind of washes his hands of all this COVID nonsense and says, I'm giving that over to the states. Can I just, you know, enlighten you for a hot second as to why that's happening? Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why May 1st was specifically chosen? Was it because it was a month that began with M and March and May made a lot of sense? No. See, the legislative session ends May 31st, which means January 1st, Governor Sisolak gets to begin his gubernatorial reelection campaign. That's right. That's right. He's wiping his hands of all this so that he can run for office. And no one can blame him anymore for any lockdowns or any problems that happen. Yes, he's free and clear. That's your governor, people. That's your freaking governor. All right, in the next block, we have so much to talk about because cancel culture has come for Cara Dune. We got a lot of Britney Spears information to talk about. In fact, Justin Timberlake just apologized for his role in her freaking demise. We're going to talk about that and so much more. And throughout the day-to-day in our commercial breaks, we're just paying ode to Valentine's Day with all sorts of love songs. So enjoy some Huey Lewis in the news and a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with so much more.
The power of love.
This local access message is brought to you by Uber Eats.
Brief world! Brief world! Perfect time! Excellent!
Hey everyone! Welcome to Wayne's World.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. As a local access show, we want everyone to support local restaurants.
But we'd never manipulate you the way all these other commercials do.
Oh, God.
Shut. That's really sad.
Totally. We're better than that.
Yeah, we'd never shamelessly rely on a celebrity cameo.
Right, Cardi B?
Yeah, eat local.
Or jump on the latest trend.
Eat local.
All right.
Local Eats, Wayne's World, yummy time, excellent.
Before 1-800-Flowers came around, these phones used to ring constantly. But now, no one needs Cupid because they can just go to 1-800-Flowers.com and choose a bouquet that is guaranteed to wow. I used to be a bona fide 10. Be a 10. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com and order today.
That was a huge 80s throwback, right? I think I first heard that song on a rerun of a Facts of Life episode in like 1990. Yeah, we got lots of throwbacks here today, so buckle up for that. Also, buckle up for the latest edition of Canceled.
Canceled.
I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. Cancel culture totally sucks. And you know who they put in their sights? You already know this. It's Cara Dune from The Mandalorian, Gina Carano, and a Vadin, no less. I am very irritated by this story for one reason. First, what Cara Dune said yesterday was not wrong at all. She said Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. This is true because Germans were being radicalized by a crazy man named Hitler who was convincing them that the Jews were bad. Because history is edited, she goes on to say, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. Huh, that's actually true. When your own government convinces you to hate someone else, that you get to the point that you want to kind of destroy them, that you are willing to round them up, that you are willing to reprogram them, that's a real problem. And isn't that what a lot of liberals are trying to do to Republicans right now? She goes on to say, how is that any different from hating someone for their political views? It's absolutely no different. Did anywhere she mention Republicans? She did not. Yet she got fired for it. Yet her co-star, Pedro Pascal, who is the Mandalorian, referred to Republicans as Nazis and has done other posts where he linked kids who were locked up in the Holocaust to a picture of kids in Israel behind bars. Palestinian kids behind bars, behind a fence in Israel, and said, America is disgusting for locking up kids in cages. Wasn't even a picture of American kids. Also, we didn't lock kids in cages under the Trump administration. That wasn't a Republican thing. That was actually an Obama-Biden thing. important to remember that. I'm just really sick and tired of the way that we cancel people. And I think we really need to look into why we're canceling people, which brings me to Britney Spears, because everybody has been talking about Britney Spears lately. You've probably seen on Twitter, on places trending, free Britney, free Britney, free Britney. Why is that? Well, because there's been this documentary about Britney Spears that came out that really kind of profiled that in Britney Spears' early years. And I'm a huge fan of hers. I watched her in the Mickey Mouse Club. I was a fan of her music. I love Britney Spears. I think she's great. And people have just destroyed this woman, so much so that here today at 39 years of age, she just got partial control of her money because her father has had control the whole time because she crazy. Because we're constantly labeling women as cray cray, as crazy, like they don't know what they're talking about, like they don't know what they're doing. I was so shocked because this week, Meghan McCain defended Britney Spears. And for the first time in a long time, I actually agreed with Meghan McCain. Check this out.
I think Justin Timberlake has some things to answer to, not just about Britney Spears, but about his role in sexualizing and demonizing Janet Jackson after the Super Bowl. And I also think we as a society, you're right, Sarah, we have to look at why we treated a woman who was clearly in pain. And by the way, she was suffering from postpartum depression when she shaved her head and took an umbrella to a paparazzi car. Why we treat women like they're always crazy. Why women have no other option but we're insane maniacs. And we as a society have not treated Britney Spears right. We have done her dirty. And I think this is a moment in time for us to give her the support that she needs. And if she is in some kind of what looks like being held against her own will by her dad, and again, this is just speculation from what I saw from the documentary, we as a society have a right to do the right thing with Britney Spears right now.
We really do, because we constantly are labeling women as crazy. Constantly labeling women as crazy. And Spence, I want to go a little bit out of order here, because if we travel back in time, Diane Sawyer at the height of Britney's kind of collapse, where, you know, she's shaving her head, she's kind of losing it with her kids. Diane Sawyer treated Britney the following way. Let's show Diane Sawyer video clip one.
He has gone on television and pretty much said, "You broke his heart. You did something that caused him so much pain, so much suffering. What did you do?"
I was upset. I was upset for a while. I think we're both really young.
Okay. After watching that, now, I almost wanted to vomit. Because Diane Sawyer literally acted like, you know what? Justin Timberlake said you really hurt him. That's why he made that song, Cry Me a River. I mean, what did you do, Britney? That's how Diane Sawyer was acting. She was acting like, Britney, how did you hurt that blessed Justin Timberlake of NSYNC? And we acted like that behavior was okay. It gets worse. Watch the second clip from this Diane Sawyer interview.
A year that would test a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Illness in the family.
Mm-hmm.
A breakup. This spasm of publicity about what happened from Mexico to London.
It was pretty rough. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh, weird.
Hello. Oh my goodness. Hello. Ew. Strong Britney.
She had to say be strong, Britney, because she was starting to cry. She's a little girl in that interview in 2003. But see, that's how we've been treating women, particularly back in 2000, back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I mean, remember Monica Lewinsky? We demonized that poor girl like she was the problem, like she was the bad one. No, it didn't have anything to do with Bill Clinton. It's crazy. We do it all the time. And that's why I'm actually so proud of Craig Ferguson. I've always been a huge Craig Ferguson fan. When Craig Ferguson hosted Late Night on CBS, oh my God, I loved it. Craig Ferguson is my man. I don't know what he believes politically. I don't know what he believes anything. But even back then, Craigie Craig said, you know what? This making fun of Britney is not okay. And he was even saying then, like, I think we need to rethink how we're doing this. It's a little bit of a longer clip. I think it's about a minute long. But listen to what Craig Ferguson had to say all the way back then.
Now, I remember it's been happening in the press and the media recently, and particularly in the so-called news outlets, the way the media is looking at the world. I kind of had similar feelings when I used to watch America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, you'd be laughing at the kid falling over, and then you go, wait a minute, put down the damn camera and help your kid. What the hell is wrong with you? And I think we're kind of holding the camera, and people are falling apart. People are dying. That Anna Nicole Smith woman, she died. No, it's not a joke, you know, it stops being funny. That she's got a 6-week-old kid or 6-month-old kid. What the hell is that? You know, and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about making fun of these people. And for me, comedy should have a certain amount of joy in it. It should be about us attacking the powerful people, attacking the politicians and the Trumps and the blowhards of the world, going after them. We shouldn't be attacking the vulnerable people. And I think, this is totally a mea culpa, this is just for me. I think my aim's been off a bit recently. I want to change it a bit. So tonight, no Britney Spears jokes. This woman has 2 kids. She's 25 years old. She's a baby herself. She's a baby.
Do you know how profound that is? That was back in 2003 that Craig did that monologue. And he said, these so-called news operations, I feel like we've lost our focus. He said, we should be making fun of the politicians and the people like the Trumps. And remember, back then, Trump was just the apprentice guy. Everybody loved Trump back then, but you made fun of him because if you're fired and whatnot. He was so spot on then. But look what not acknowledging what we were like back then, where it's brought us to today. And that's why I was disgusted when I saw that Justin Timberlake, because of what Meghan McCain said on The View, which we showed earlier, because of what Meghan McCain said on The View, he's decided it's time to apologize. To apologize to Janet Jackson for doing a Super Bowl performance with her and ripping off her little thing so that her nipple was exposed. And for basically trying to destroy and trash Britney Spears for his own gain. It's disgusting. It's a little too late. And I want to show you what we're even doing today. So this week, you probably heard about Gorilla Glue Lady. I mean, I did too. And I'm going to admit, it was kind of funny. I mean, watch the clip that she did on TikTok that went viral. Let's look at Gorilla Glue 1.
Hey, y'all. For those of y'all that know me, know my hair has been like this for about a month now. It's not by choice. No, it's not by choice. When I do my hair, I like to, you know, finish it off with the little Got to Be Glue spray. You know, just to keep it in place. Well, I didn't have any more Got to Be Glue spray, so I used this. Gorilla Glue spray. Bad, bad, bad idea. Y'all, look. My hair, it don't move. You hear what I'm telling you? It don't move. I've washed my hair 15 times. And it don't move. Stiff wear. Woo!
I mean, it's kind of funny. You're right. Like, how on earth did you do that? How on earth did you do that? Now, I want to give you an update to the story that number one, but I don't want to show the clip just yet, Spencer, so forget the Gorilla Glue 2. But she eventually got her hair, like, loosened up. A doctor actually did that for her. It was a really dumb move. She never should have done it. But do you know that another dude, right after she did that, decided to put freaking Gorilla Glue on a Solo cup and then put it on his mouth and it was attached to his face and he couldn't get it off? Isn't he just as stupid as her? But all anyone's making fun of is her because she did it to her hair and she couldn't unglue it. That guy's a big idiot. Not all women are idiots. Not all men are idiots. People do stupid things. That's the truth. And we don't do a good enough job of calling out idiots when they're idiots and not making it about gender and just making it like, hey, you're stupid, and applauding the good. And so I want to applaud a woman who did some great good this week, because there is a mom in Texas who freaking took out a man who was a peeping Tom on her daughter. And even the way they did the news story is a little questionable, in my opinion. Check this out.
Even if you think you can run from the cops, good luck getting past this mom.
I figured at least I could do if I got them down, tripped them up, whatever, then they'd, you know, have a chance to get caught up.
That's Phyllis Pena in the red shirt.
First instinct was just to make sure he didn't go any further.
Captured on police dash cam, taking down a man she says was trying to look into her 15-year-old daughter's bedroom window early on a Sunday morning.
My kids are my life and, you know, just making sure I protect them, pretty much.
Lake Jackson Police Sergeant Rory Welch gave her some credit.
It was a pretty good tackle.
He told us the suspect is 19-year-old Zane Hawkins. Police found Hawkins nearby, but he tried to get away. They say he started running back towards mom, who moved in and made the tackle. Her daughter helped hold down the suspect until officers caught up.
Not very often that we have somebody that actually steps in and puts themselves in harm's way to assist in apprehending somebody.
And the cop, you know, fist bumped me and he was like, hey, so I heard Texans are looking for a new linebacker.
I mean, she should be praised for what she did, but we kind of like joke that she's a linebacker too. She was just a mom protecting her kid. I guess my point is this. We've got women who do great things. Not every woman's crazy. Not every man is crazy. It's not a gender thing. People do dumb stuff all the time. Have you done something dumb? I absolutely had. Have you done something dumb? You probably had. But we throw around the word crazy far too often so that it actually becomes desensitized. So we don't actually realize when we're seeing some true crazy because we've just listed all of it crazy. We've really got to change our ways and we've got to stop with the canceling because we're canceling just about everybody for just about anything these days and it's all got to stop. All right, my friends, we've got a lot more Michelle Mortensen show coming your way. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we're going to have a great guest with us here in, hopefully a few minutes. And we're going to talk about Black History Month and so much more. Plus, did you know that there is a push right now for senior citizens to start having sex with robots? Oh, yes. The Valentine's Day stories are going to get lit. Coming up. Stay tuned.
Life used to feel fuller.
I want to
Matthew?
Break free.
Some days are harder than others.
I want to break free.
No. It's like I used to be on solid ground.
Please welcome Matthew McConaughey.
Did you drive here or did you travel by fax?
I want to break free.
There's got to be a way to get back.
I want to break free.
Doritos, now in 3D.
Saving money on your car insurance is easy with the team at InsureWise. The agents at InsureWise can find you the best coverage at the lowest price, something the corporate guys just can't do. Great rates await on your car, home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. InsureWise, the only wise choice for all your insurance needs.
Someday we'll be together.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Hey. Someday,
some sweet day,
we'll be together.
I know.
Someday we won't be crazy. And I'm waiting for that day, but it certainly is not today. Mary Wilson also passed away this week in Las Vegas. So sad, a member of the Supremes. That music, it will live forever, won't it? Some of the best music out there. I think we all love the Supremes. I think you could probably my 6-year-old kid knows who the Supremes is if I did a little stop in the name of love or something. But I don't know about that. I'll have to test that one out. All right. I've got a great guest joining me now. Her name is Monica Harris, and we are going to talk about all things politics, all things Black History Month, and so much more. Monica, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. It's such a pleasure.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I want to talk to you about a couple of things because, as you know, February is Black History Month. And there is so much of African-American history that a lot of people aren't really aware of. But I wonder what you think, if really having a month like this, is it really amplifying people's knowledge of African-American history? Or is it just becoming something that people are just like, oh, yeah, that's just another month. It's just another holiday. Is there any impact with it anymore? What do you think?
You know, I think sadly, Michelle, and I'm going to date myself here. I'm 54 years old. I was born right after the Watts riots in LA. And when I was coming up in the 70s and 80s, Martin Luther King Jr. was an icon. I mean, you couldn't discuss race or race relations or the struggle for equality without invoking his name. And now, just like you were alluding to, it seems that Martin Luther King's birthday is a reason to take off work, maybe if your employer gives you the day off, or, you know, to tune into CNN and see a retrospective about, you know, his death, his, you know, what he accomplished in civil rights. And that's it. It's almost as if we give lip service to Martin Luther King now. And his message has been lost. And his message, I think, was one of not just racial unity, it was of human unity. And I think that we're really missing it now. We no longer embrace the path. We're no longer willing to follow the path that Martin Luther King gave up his life to show us.
And I really wanted to talk to you about that a little bit more in detail, because over the last year of 2020, with the rising up of Black Lives Matter, I feel like so much of Martin Luther King's message has almost gotten lost, or it's been interpreted for the acceptance of violence. It's been interpreted to do things that I don't know that that was necessarily the intent. And I feel like unity has somewhat been lost. And I don't know that anyone even feels like it's a safe thing to discuss anymore, because you just kind of, I think most people, and I'll talk as a white person, it's like, I shouldn't even bring it up. I don't even have a place. It's totally unacceptable for me to even have a question or want to discuss it. And I wonder if you feel that we're getting better at communicating or worse, and what 2020 has done for race relations.
You know, I think it's not just 2020. I think the damage to race relations started, ironically, and I know this is going to sound heretical, it seemed to me that race relations deteriorated shortly after Barack Obama was elected. And I want to qualify that by saying deteriorated not realistically. I think that the media, and a lot of this comes from the media, I think a perception is created that race relations have deteriorated, when in reality, I think racial relations are better than they've ever been between people on a ground level, at the ground level, not by looking at what you see on TV, but just our interactions, our daily interactions with people of other colors. Let me just back up and saying, I think that in order to have an informed conversation about race, we need to acknowledge something that a lot of us don't want to think about, and that's the fact that we don't live in the world we think we live in. I think our reality is being distorted on every possible level, from, you know, this idea that we live in a representative democracy. We don't. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we know we really live in an oligarchy where a very few control our government and our economy. We're told we have a free and independent media. We don't. It's 90% of our news comes from companies owned by five corporations. And another distortion of our reality is our racial reality. And as a Black woman, I can tell you that race may be on everyone's mind right now, but the America that I see today, that I'm living in right now, is nothing like the America that I grew up in as a kid. It's not even like the America I grew up in, that I saw and lived in 20 years ago when I graduated from law school and was first forging my you know, path professionally. I think that we live in a country where the vast majority of people and people of all colors mingle freely with white people, have an opportunity to get educated at the same schools, earn a living in the same offices. We've even elected a Black commander as chief. We have more biracial children than ever in this country. They're actually outpacing the population growth as a whole. And I wonder, how can this possibly happen in a country that's supposedly so racial divided? It makes no sense. So when I think, Michelle, when I hear that America has a race problem, I don't believe it. I believe we have a distortion problem. I think our reality is being distorted to make us think We have a problem with each other as Black people, as white people, that we really don't have. But this leads to the question, Michelle, why is our reality being distorted? Why is race being shoved in our face and making us see ourselves as enemies when we're really not?
I think a lot of it has to do with the way the media is presenting the story. And I think that's what was very difficult about a lot of what we saw in 2020, because I think we saw something horrible happen over Memorial Day weekend in May of 2020. And something that we all, no matter what your race, no matter what your color, no matter what your gender, no matter what your belief system, you thought that was disgusting and abhorrent. But somehow that led to this entire movement of Black Lives Matter. You've got what's going on in Seattle with Antifa and whatnot. And I think it's gotten very confusing as to what all this means, what it all stands for. At least I think it's confusing, because I 100% believe that Black Lives Matter, and you would never get me to say that they don't. But at the same time, I don't understand that organization all in its entirety either. And I don't know that it stands for everything that I just said.
Right. I think that's one of the things that's confusing about Black Lives Matter, is that its mission statement isn't really clear. What ultimately are they trying to accomplish? I don't think it's ever been laid out in a sort of lucid and cohesive manner. It seems that, in my opinion, when I think of Black Lives Matter and when I see the protests, when I see the signs, all I see is anger. And I see it as part of a monologue that white people are being, they're being talked to, they're being talked down to, in fact, and they're being told, you've mistreated us, you're hateful. And in many cases, I even see that white people are being taught to shame each other and to feel guilty about being white, to be guilty about being born in white skin, which is ironic because it's the same thing that we as Black people were made to feel 70 years ago, just feeling the pain and the shame of being born in Black skin. And we're turning the tables now. And, you know, again, going back to what you said about Martin Luther King, this is not... He did not dream of a world where the sons and daughters of former slave owners would chastise and humiliate, the sons and daughters of former slaves would chastise and humiliate the sons and daughters of former slaveholders. He dreamed of a world in which we would all come together and see that two wrongs don't make a right. And I feel this is what's happening now. The Black Lives Matter movement seems to want to penalize or actually take retribution against white people for the wrongs that have been committed. And there have been countless wrongs. I've endured so many of them growing up. The discrimination in schools, just shopping with my parents. It was hard growing up as a Black kid in the 60s and 70s and even in the 80s. But that's not the world we live in now. And it's unfortunate that the Black Lives Matter movement seems to focus almost exclusively on the past and the trend I don't want to say the few transgressions that are occurring now. Race is still a problem in this country to a certain extent. Black people are still the victims of police brutality at a disproportionate rate. We are still in poverty at a higher rate. There is still racism, but it is not nearly as intense as it used to be. And I think we need to focus more on the progress we've made and focus on also on our common problems, because that to me, Michelle, is where that's the elephant in the room that no one's talking about. We are being conditioned and programmed to see each other as enemies and focus on what separates us, our skin color. And we are completely missing the most important thing, which is, why aren't we focusing on the things that unite us, the things that we have in common? You're a white woman and I'm a Black woman. There are some things we don't have in common, but there is so much more, Michelle, that we do have in common that we're not talking about. And I think that's deliberate. I think the conversation is in deliberately divisive to keep us from focusing on what we have in common.
I think one of the things that I'm so aware of at the moment is that the rhetoric and the language that we're using is immensely divisive. And on both sides. And I believe, just like you do, that community brings unity, and that when we have community, we don't just see each other as like skin color or any other divisive factor. We just see each other as human beings, which is something I think we want to do. But I think at the same time, there's this hurt that white people, honestly, I think, are afraid to have these discussions. I think they're afraid to bring it up. I think they're afraid to even ask questions because there's going to be such huge backlash. I feel like there's these times where people just look at you because you're white. Well, then you must be racist. You must be horrible person. And that's awful. And then I know that racism exists and it kills me. One of my first TV jobs was in Southeast Texas, where Vidor, Texas is. And Vidor, Texas was one of the homes of the first KKK. I went to one of my first stories with an African-American photographer, and I had seen for the first time in my life, because I'd never really witnessed it like that, just how horribly these people treated him simply because he was African-American and I was with him. And that was disgusting to them. I know that exists. I know that there's problems, but how do we get to a place where we can actually have discussions like this and it's not destroying each other, and where we can actually learn something, where we can actually grow? What is the step to creating this community? Because if we don't start figuring it out, and if we don't start building bridges, and if we don't stop being afraid, I'm afraid the future is going to be far worse. And I don't like being a Debbie Downer.
You don't like being... Well, I think that those are all good points you make. As I said earlier, it seems to me that the conversation around race now is more of a monologue and not a dialogue. And a monologue, of course, is where you talk to people and you don't allow them to speak in or to voice a response. It's more of a sit and listen, hear what we have to say, but please don't respond. And I think that in that environment, it's impossible to unite. I think it's impossible to create solutions. I think it's impossible to heal. And as a Black person, I think that I spent a lot of time analyzing what's created this dynamic? Why have we as the Black community created a situation in which we're presenting white people with a problem, we're airing our grievances, but we're not giving them the space to actually help us come to productive solutions? If anything, what we're doing, and this is, it scares me too, Michelle, if anything, the path we're on, and that Black Lives Matter in particular is spearheading, is one that's going to alienate well-intentioned white people who are probably thinking, and I'm not white, but I can just imagine what they're thinking, which is, look, I know we're not perfect. I know we've committed wrongs in the past, but we're trying to do better. And look, we have done better. You're not acknowledging that we've made progress. You're only looking at the progress yet to be made as opposed to the milestones we passed. And if people are criticized and if they're only taught to focus on what they haven't accomplished and what they're doing wrong, then at a certain point, I wonder if they simply may stop trying and think, you know what, no matter what I do, no matter how hard we try to do right by the Black community, we always fail. We will never be good enough. We will never be the white people that Black people want us to be. So why should we even try? That scares me.
It scares me. It's a very, very scary thought. Monica, I know that we're running out of time here. We've got to take a quick commercial break, but I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to learn about your book, where they can check it out, what it's about. So give us a good 30-second plug.
Yes, my book is called Reality Bites, Insights on Bridging the Racial Divide in America. And it focuses on exactly what we're talking about right now, Michelle, our distorted reality and how we, as Black Americans, as white Americans, as Americans of all color, can come together to bridge this divide. It's available on Amazon. And you can also visit my website at letsgetunplugged.com, and you can order there as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Monica. I hope to have you on here again sometime soon. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to get to all of our big Valentine's Day news, including the sex robots, the Valentine's Day candy, and why you're watching TV to avoid your spouse. We'll be right back.
I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen-
see the difference, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing new.
Bronk.
What up, TB?
What do you think my next move should be? Give it to me straight. Maybe it's just time I hang him up.
I got one word for you. Retirement. If you retire now, you're going to be walking on soft sand in a week.
Just come to Florida
and feel the wind in your hair. Retirement is like winning another one. Maybe I'll even join you.
On a Spotty Network, this is what Tom heard.
If you retire now, you're soft and weak.
Just come to Florida and win another one.
Maybe I'll even join you.
Just go win another one.
Like it's that easy, Gronk. Maybe it is.
I still feel like I have a lot to accomplish.
My goal is to win one more. And Gronk's coming with me.
I'm retired from retiring? Mom, where are my football pants?
Don't trust big decisions to just any network. Go with T-Mobile, the GOAT in 5G.
And I'm not soft or weak either.
T-Mobile is the leader in 5G.
Tell me why it ain't nothing but a party. Tell me why it ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why I never want to hear you say I want it that way.
You know, back in the day, I loved that song. I really did. And now I'm kind of ashamed. Like, I'm like, how did any of us think they were hot with their little white tank tops on, dancing like that? Oh my God, it's shameful. All right. It's Valentine's Day this weekend, or Singles Awareness Day. Did you know that they had to make it PC? Valentine's Day can't just be for love. It's Singles Awareness Day too. But one of the interesting stories I found for this Valentine's Day holiday is that there is a push right now out of the University of Washington to get sex robots for seniors. Yes, because of social isolation and COVID, professors there think that, there should be sex robots for our seniors because, well, they're living longer, they're lonely and disabled, and gosh darn it, sex robots are cool. Listen to what this crazy professor had to say.
The current COVID-19 pandemic is really forcing the issue because all of us, especially older adults, are very socially isolated and lonely because of physical distancing requirements and not seeing people in the office if we're working at home, not seeing our neighbors and our friends. So I think we're thinking more about it. And I think robots are also getting better. So they're becoming more emotionally intelligent. They can read our nonverbal cues and relate to us and engage in conversations. It's easier to have a robot companion because they just make better companions.
Oh my God. She just said it's easier to hug a robot because they make better companions. I guess Yuri, you know Yuri, that guy I interviewed who married a sex doll, evidently he agrees. Remember this clip?
Yeah, she don't eat, drink, and go to toilet. And it's comfortable for me.
I have 8 Emmys, and I interviewed that man, and he said she doesn't go to the toilet, she doesn't eat, so it's totally comfortable for him to be married to a sex doll. But if you follow my show, you know that I had to give the update that Margo has been broken and is unfixable, so now he's dating raw chicken. It's true. And this idea is actually growing because another survey found that 1 in 4 young people actually think sex with a robot is a good idea. Okay. Sure. Sure. Whatever you say. All right. So, did I throw out that page? Oh, of course I would. So, allegedly, a survey has been done that many of you are watching TV shows that suck just to avoid your spouse. Either you'd rather watch a crappy TV show so that you don't have to talk to your spouse, or you'd rather watch a crappy TV show rather than fight about it so you don't have to get into a fight. This is enthralling to me because I actually firmly believe firmly believe that so much in which TV is awful right now. It just sucks. And I'm not watching it to avoid a fight with my spouse. I'm not watching it because I don't want to fight with my spouse. Maybe that's what my husband's doing, but not me. I'm doing it because, quite honestly, TV sucks these days. Like, really, really, really sucks. I just sat through a season of a show on Netflix called In the Dark. And I should have left it in the dark. It was so bad, but I committed and I watched all 13 episodes. Not because I didn't want to fight, but because I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. And because it is Valentine's Day, you may be looking to get some of those heart candies, you know, the yucky, chalky heart candies. Well, someone has done the research for you. And if you're wondering which brand is actually the best, they say it's the Brock's brand that is the best of the sweet heart candies. Yum, yum. Yum, yum. And we're going to end. And Spencer, I don't know if you have a way to get us back onto Facebook real quick. You can do that because I'm going to take care of the video here. As you know, it is Chinese New Year today. That's right. The Lunar New Year begins today. If you are in the downtown Summerlin area, you can go on their app and you can actually play a little game and get free red envelopes. But I needed to show you the coolest Chinese New Year music video ever. We're going to watch it right now. It's pretty amazing. Watch this. They've got like Transformer axes for the Year of the Ox. They mixed all that great music together. That was the best Chinese New Year thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I absolutely loved every single minute of it. So that is my way of saying Happy New Year to you. It is the Year of the Ox. It's a strong year. It's got to be better than the Year of the Rat we had last year. 2020 was real bad of a year. And now we're going on to the Ox, and I'm hoping it's going to be good. And go to downtown somewhere and use your little app. Get some free red envelopes. I guess they're filled with candy and maybe some gift cards. So you'll get some money after all. And I will see you back here on Monday. It's President's Day with the Michelle Mortensen Show. We'll be back here at noon. Know what you need to know right now, though, Monday evening. That will be back for you on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Until next time, my friends, have a great day. Time to get real.